Well, hey, everyone. Thanks again for joining us at Mercy Talk this week. As many of you may know, in February, we've been focusing on eating disorders. And so last week, we really kicked that off discussing just what eating disorders are, facts, signs, symptoms, just kind of set the foundation to what they are, what to kind of keep an eye out for. And so this week, we're going to be shifting gears into talking about what to do when you have an eating disorder, if you're someone that's wanting to minister to someone that maybe is struggling with that. And so now that we have the foundation set, we're really going to shift gears into sort of what to do, because we want to make sure that these times give you the information that you need to be able to identify struggles and difficulties in your own life or in other people's lives. But then the reality is, what do we then do with that information? And so today is really going to be the brass tacks of what that looks like and really how to reach out and minister to others. And really, I would say one of the first things that we always need to keep in mind, and I'm sure Mel will speak to this in a couple minutes too, because I know it's something she's very passionate about, is the understanding of where our boundaries begin and end. Mm-hmm. You know, where we start, where we end, knowing what we are able to do, even from season to season. You know, if you're a single woman, then you may be able to minister to and do more accountability for someone in their life. When you're married and have children, it may be a different season. And so really being straightforward and honest with yourself about what you are able to do and what you're not able to do.
Yes, it's very good. It's very important. I love, Jen, that you, you know, are just talking today about how important it is to know kind of where you begin and end. But also, I think it's just good for us to be able to focus in a little bit today on helping to just equip people further, because sometimes right. You can actually do a little bit more than you even realize you can mm-hmm. do.
It's true.
And so there have been times in my life where, you know, I saw somebody struggling with something, but I thought, I don't have the counseling degree. I don't mm-hmm. have the letters after my name to be able to help That's them. Good. So I do nothing. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I am very passionate about, and I know you are as well, as just being able to equip people, because yeah. they may have a real heart to help, but they just don't really know what to do. And so we're going to touch on that today. But man, that is just kind of the impetus behind everything we're doing through all of our outreach stuff here at Mercy right now, yeah. is just equipping people and helping them to help people
right.
better.
And that they don't have to have letters behind their name.
Right.
They don't have to have all sorts of degrees. They really just have to have a heart for the Lord and for people.
Right.
And, you know, I think the other important thing is that they've walked some life and some healing themselves,
sure.
you know, that you can only take people as far as you've gone. But if you really have a heart for people in the Lord and you're willing to do that work on your own, then that therefore positions you to help other people overcome.
Right.
It's the coolest thing, whether you have letters behind your name or not.
Right. Well, yeah. and, you know, I think it's good to note, especially on a topic like what we're discussing this month on with eating disorders, that a lot of times there are circumstances where you really do need to bring some other people along mm-hmm. who do have some areas of expertise that you might not have.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can't do anything. Mm-hmm. It just means that you need to bring along others in that journey. But, you know, I think obviously, first and foremost, when it comes to, you know, helping someone who's struggling with an eating disorder, the first thing that, you know, you need to kind of always have in mind is that you're just watching and looking for those signs and symptoms that we right. talked about last week. We barely touched on it. We didn't mm-hmm. have enough time to break them all down. But I would encourage you, if you didn't get to hear last week's show, to do that. But we also have, and I believe I mentioned it at the end of last week's show, we have a series on our website
yeah.
called Mercy For Series. And one of those is Mercy For Eating Disorders. Mm-hmm. And that one, that book really will break down the different types of eating disorders, different signs and symptoms that mm-hmm. are specific to each of those types. And so I would really encourage you can actually download that book for free from our mm-hmm. website. So I encourage you, if you're thinking like, no, unpack that more, I want
right.
more about the signs and symptoms, you can find a lot of that information on our website through that book. But, you know, I think when it comes to an eating disorder, the quicker that it is caught, mm-hmm. you know, the more easily an individual is going to be able to overcome that. When you do start to see those signs and symptoms, we talked a little bit last week about just having that willingness to confront someone
right.
When you start to see those things. And it doesn't mean, like I mentioned last week, that, you know, I had a family member who was struggling with this. And the only way I saw that conversation going down was me like walking up to that person and saying, I think that you might have an eating disorder.
Right.
Which never played out well in my head. So I was nope. like, I'm not doing that. So I just was quiet and mm-hmm. I just watched it for like a couple of years. And I just look back on that and think, what would have happened if I just didn't see any alternatives. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to say is that's not how you have to approach the situation. You do need to have the willingness to call it like it is and to be able to say the hard things. But, you know, I mean, first and foremost, your goal is not to help someone break their behavior of their eating disorder. Your goal is to help them find some healing and freedom in their heart. Mm-hmm. And so the first question, the lead-in question is not, do you have an eating disorder? It's, man, how are you doing? Are things going okay? I've been noticing this or that. And, you know, I just want to know how you are. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, that we're trying to lead them to a place of healing and freedom. And so it's not about them just getting over that eating disorder. That's, you'll get to that. And that's an important conversation to have. But I just think that, that's where that needs to start. And you don't have to start off asking them what could become a very defensive question if they don't think mm-hmm. that, you know, that you really care about what's happening in their life and in their heart. So that's where I would say it's an important place to start.
And I would add too, Mel, you know, as we were talking earlier, just about some different things. One of our graduates had brought up the really important point of making sure that when you're helping someone, that you're valuing who they are from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think what can happen is that we get stuck in the whole idea of the bondage and what needs to be overcome. And, you know, all of the behaviors and all of that is true. You can't ignore those things and overcome them. But the whole reality is if I'm working with a young woman, she is a daughter of God first, before she's someone struggling with an eating disorder, mm-hmm. before she is dealing with things from her past, she is a daughter of God. And her identity, if we're able to approach, especially as we help people, we're able to approach who God says they are first and foremost. It's from that place of strength that they begin to overcome. And what we can sometimes do as helpers, especially, is we can get caught up in the idea that they are what they are doing, mm-hmm. and that that actually produces such a place of shame as well. And not even realizing that we're actually buying into that at times without realizing, gosh, I really need to be intentional and focused about standing in truth ourselves about who that person is, so then we can position them to overcome from a place of truth. Mm-hmm. And that's not just being mindful of behaviors, but also being mindful of identity. Mm-hmm. And that our job really is to help that person come into a full understanding of who God says they are. And he does not label them as someone who struggles with an eating disorder. He does not label them as an anorexic. Do you know what I'm saying? Right. And so when you're able to move in a relationship to a place of truth, then you position them to move forward, understanding this, all of my freedom and healing comes out of who God already says that I am and what Jesus did for me on the cross. And if I can get a revelation and understanding of that, that then sets the trajectory of my healing process, not just becoming, not overcoming behaviors, but really lining up with who God already says that I am.
Yeah. We have someone who's come in and done some training with our staff before, and that's his actual definition of freedom. Basically, being able to operate and live and make decisions based off of who God created me to be.
Yeah.
And so it's not about me striving to be somebody different or to mm-hmm. obtain some sort of identity. Like it's about who I already am and what are the obstacles standing in the way for me living out who I really actually am at my core.
It's in another way of putting it that I often think about is I'm waging this war from a place of victory.
Right.
So if I, like we often talk about, if I record some sort of football game for my favorite team and I watch it ahead of time and I know when I watch it later live or however, if I already know the outcome, I'm not going to freak out when things get difficult. Mm-hmm. So if I already know what my identity is and that I already have victory and I come to that revelation, then when I have to overcome the behavioral stuff and the things that are the difficulties day in and day out, I already know on the back end that I'm working from a place of victory. Mm-hmm. And so that changes everything mm-hmm. to be able to move forward in freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked in previous shows just mm-hmm. about all of the different keys to freedom that we use here in our homes. But one of the things that I feel like is really pivotal, well, to every journey to freedom, but, you know, specific to this issue is just the importance of recognizing lies. Mm-hmm. And I think what we were just talking about, personally, I feel like that is where the enemy attacks first and foremost mm-hmm. is identity, because I feel like he knows that if he can get to that, he can basically do whatever he Absolutely. Wants to do in your life and just wreak mm-hmm. havoc. And so, you know, just one of the most important keys that we teach is about the importance of renewing the mind mm-hmm. and being able to recognize a lie for a lie. And Gateway Church that we work with quite a bit out of Dallas, I love the model that they use. It's so, so simple, but it's so profound and makes mm-hmm. so much sense. They call it the anatomy of a stronghold. And, you know, they kind of lay it out like if something harmful or difficult happens in someone's life, they experience some sort of pain. Out of that pain, they will begin to believe lies, either about themselves or about God or about who he is. And then out of those lies, they start to behave in a certain way as a result of the lies, in a way to protect themselves or a way to defend themselves from those lies. And so the behavior that you see on the outside of someone is just the behavior, but it's being fed by lies.
That's
it's
right.
being fed by something that they're trying to, that they're trying to find some sort of defense or relief or comfort from. You know, we talk all the time about getting to the root of the issues. And so many times the root of the issues is a bunch of lies.
That's right.
And that's what's feeding the behavior that you're seeing. And so when it comes to, you know, someone struggling with an eating disorder, one of the first questions I feel like it's important to ask of that person and to help them discover is, what are the lies that are feeding this behavior? Because when I can determine what those lies are, then I can start to go to the truth, which we believe is the word of God, is our ultimate truth. It's always true. I can start going to the word and finding out what is actually true. And then I can just start to feed my mind with the truth. And over time, the lies will get pushed out. And when the word of God is spoken, the enemy has nothing that he can do against that. And so he has to shut his mouth. We really want to teach the importance of renewing the mind to the truth of God's word so that the lies that are feeding that behavior, in this case, an eating disorder, are cut off at the root. And so I feel like that's just a really important key to really throw in on this one.
And it's so huge, Mel, because I think what people don't understand, if you've not experienced what truth does, is that we get so stuck in the behavior. And we've talked about that last week. I'm sure we'll continue to talk about that in the weeks to come, is the challenge of understanding you can't ignore the behaviors. But what I've seen on the counseling end of things is, so often I'll say, you know what, we're actually not even going to focus on the behavior. We're going to focus on your belief system. Because as we get into your belief system, suddenly stuff starts falling off. Like, if I understand my worth in God, suddenly I don't have a desire to purge anymore because that was linked to that. So now that I'm standing in truth, I don't have to reteach myself not to purge every time I eat. No, I now understand my identity and worth. So therefore, the behavior just starts shifting out. There's no need for it anymore. But if we chase the behavior, it can be years and years and years of chasing behavior and never really getting to the root, which is the lie, which is the control, which is the shame, which is the abuse, which is the stuff we walk through that really has nothing to do with the food when we're speaking of eating disorders or the other different just life controlling issues that manifest when we've got brokenness in our lives. And so that is one of my favorite things as a counselor that I've watched over the years, is people to kind of look at me like I'm a little crazy when I'm like, we're actually not going to focus on the behavior right now. Isn't that what I'm here to overcome? Yes, but we're going to focus on the root and who you believe yourself to be and the word of God and the truth of the word of God. And that as you go after that, stuff just starts to shift that you never had to put effort towards because your identity has changed. It is the coolest thing.
Yep.
I know personally that I've experienced in my own life, but then watched women overcome in that way.
Right.
It's a powerful, powerful thing.
Yeah. It goes for everything.
It's so true.
Every issue, big or small. Like, it works.
It's so true.
I know we've both obviously experienced that in our own lives. And so we are just very passionate about it, but we've also seen it just break off some of the most, you know, what the world would look at and say, those are chains that are never going to fall off that person. And it works.
It's
like,
so
it really
true.
Does work. So I know that that's something that we are really passionate about. And I just think, you know, whenever we were mentioned this earlier, just about the importance of, as you said, there is such a massive spiritual component to these issues, but there is also a natural component. And especially when it comes to this specific issue of eating disorders, sometimes you really do need to bring in a medical professional. You need to bring in a nutritionist. You need to bring in a team of people to come alongside you. I think, man, did I fall hard on this one many, many times, you know, in working with people, I felt like it was all on me. And if I don't, you know, get this right, this person's life is in my hands. You know, I mean, it's just a little ridiculous. Like, it's not at all what the Lord put on me.
Right.
And the Lord is the one who saves and heals and sets people free. I just get to come alongside and be used in whatever he wants to use me. So I feel like it's really important that we understand, as you mentioned, just kind of where we begin and end, and also be very, very willing to bring along other people, because that is very key. There'd be like a coordinated care approach in helping someone walk through an issue like this one.
especially with an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I would say all the other issues that we'll be hitting on, self-harm, addictions, abuse, there's something to be said about team, but especially when you're dealing with an eating disorder that is so multifaceted, that you're dealing with nutrition and fitness and the heart issues, and not one person can ever go after all of that on their own. And so especially for folks that are struggling in this area, that team approach is very, very, very important. Of course, it's important with all areas, but I would say with an eating disorder, it's absolutely paramount that they have a team around them to help attack and to get after all of those different areas in order for them to overcome.
Well, Jen, I know that we could talk for hours upon hours about all of this, and we actually do talk for hours upon hours about all of this in our Empower workshops.
That's right.
That I don't want to close today without talking about. We have a two-day workshop that we offer here at Mercy for people who really have a desire to help and just want some further equipping and encouragement. And so a lot of the things that we discuss today, we really break down in a lot more detail at those workshops. And we love doing those workshops.
Yeah, so
we would love for you to come and join us. And actually, in 5 days from today, on February the 16th, is the deadline for our March workshop. So we have an Empower workshop happening March 1st and 2nd here in Nashville, and would really love for you to join us. If you've been listening today and you just want more and you need more, please come and join us. And you can register at mercymultiplied.com. And if you have any questions at all, just you'll find contact information on our website. If you want to know more about the workshop, what we do, what you'd learn, feel free to let us know. We'd love to tell you about it. So again, thank you so much for being with us this week. We'll be really excited over the next couple of weeks. We're going to have our nutrition and fitness manager from our Nashville home as a special guest. And as Jen said earlier, you know, sometimes it's just really important that you bring alongside people who have special areas of expertise in different areas. And so when it comes to eating disorders, Janelle, who's going to be our guest, has a lot of just a wealth of knowledge and experience. And so we're excited to have her and hope that you'll join us then.